Yesterday we were discussing the concept of marriage and proceedings of the chuppah. So we did the second part. I want to start now at the beginning, and that's when you go to the chuppah fish. What happens at the chuppah fish besides singing? And more and more I'm singing, less people sing. The mitzvah to sing. It's a man chuppah in the kala. The kala is not in the room, but the chuppah is. Instead of, okay, you eat a little bit, but you also need to sing. Food is delicious, but you also need to sing. The man comes in the car, beautiful. A big mitzvah. Mitzvah to do Rabbanan, the Rambam says, but it's a kimah after it come off. So what happens? So, I don't know if you guys are familiar with something called the Tanoim. What are the Tanoim? What do Tanoim really literally mean in English? Conditions. So what does it mean, conditions, Tanoim? What kind of conditions? So, many Hasidim, we're all Yidim, have a beautiful minig. We don't have this minig, Ashkenazim, Litvishim, non-Hasidim. But they have a minig when the couple gets engaged, they do Tanoim then. And that's really the best, the proper time to do the Tanoim. What are the Tanoim? The fathers of the Chasam and Kala make a deal, they make a kinyan, that they're going to bring the Chasam and Kala to the Chuppah. And they're going to finance them, they're going to chazik them emotionally, financially, spiritually. And they'll see to it that the chuppah gets done, and I may have asked them that they're really showing bodies, yes? God forbid if the engagement is broken off, then there's a chiyuv. There's a chiyuv to pay a certain amount of money, whatever that money might be. A lot of times they might be mokhalit, but the truth of the matter is that is the purpose of tanoim, okay? The Tanoim were a pledge of allegiance from both fathers that they're going to bring the Chasam and Kala to the Chuppah. So the appropriate time to do the Tanoim is at the engagement. You follow me? Now, the Rishonim said that if one of the two parties breaks off the engagement, there's a cherem. What's the cherem? Cherem is a bad thing. Now, usually we hope that that doesn't apply nowadays. Because the Chura, their Tanoim, Litvisher people don't write Tanoim at the engagement. They don't do Tanoim. I know someone once who told me that he once got engaged. What do you mean he once got engaged? This engagement having broken off. One of the reasons was at the Tanoim of the engagement, thank you for getting the Dunkin' Donuts. I got donuts for everyone. I didn't get them. Binyamin got them, but I paid for them. Thank you, Binyamin, for getting them. But he went to the engagement once of himself, and they wanted him to sign something. So he was out of town somewhere, so he called his Rebbe. His Rebbe said, I don't think you should sign it. And then the Rav of the town got all upset that this is the minhag in our town, and he walked out of the Tanoim. Meanwhile, it ended up being that the engagement broke off anyway. But that's usually not the minhag. It's an extreme case, but I'm just trying to say that the minig of Litvisha Nana Hasidim is not to do Tanoim at the engagement. Not to do it. But if it's done, and there is such a chayrin, so that is, but there's a knaf, then you have to pay a certain amount of money. So that's really what the Tanoim is all about. So, as I said, we don't do the Tanoim at the engagement, we do the Tanoim at the Chasam Tish. The Rav Zatzal didn't like it. Why did the Rav not like it? Because of this reason. If they're getting married, Lamaisa, it's Rav. If they're getting married, Lamaisa, if they're getting married already at the time of the chuppah, what's the point of the Tanoim? You set up the whole wedding, everyone's ready to go, what's the purpose of the Tanoim? So the Rav did not like the Tanoim. In fact, I know a wedding in the early 70s, I was told that the Lamaisa Zatzal and the Rav Zatzal were there, and the Rav Zatzal was upset about Tanoim. He walked out of the Chasam's Tish. So Moshe Zatzal went to get him and said, relax. So he convinced him to come back in. But to that degree, the Rav did not really, did not like doing Tanoim. Second of all, so let's talk about how you do it. So the Sadr Kibushin takes the father of the Chasam, takes the father of the Kala, and you get the 80 Tanoim. And you take a pen, and the father lifts up the pen where he pledges allegiance to do this. He commits himself to the chazik, the chasam of the kala, bringing him to the chuppah, the chazik financially, spiritually, and the mother of the kala takes the pen and not the mother, the father of the Kaho, the father of Chassan, each lifts up the king in the front of the Edom, yes? And then the Masada Kedushin said the Edom saw that. Then he writes in the Tanoim, it's a whole Tanoim. We actually follow the Moses Nuska Tanoim. You write in the word the Kanina, and the Kinim was done, and the Edom signed their names on the Tanoim. And that is the Tanoim, okay? And the minig is that whoever reads the Tanoim, whether it's the Rav, at the end of the Tanoim, the minig is to read the Tanoim. You ever saw a Tanoim? You read the whole Tanoim, and then you're supposed to reread the top few lines, because you want to end up on a good note. That's the minig Yisrael, to reread the top two lines when you read the Tanoim. Now, the mothers are in the room when the Tanoim are read, and what do they do right afterwards? They break a what? Plate. That's the minig that kind of like breaks the plate to show that the kinyan has been what? The kinyan has been consummated. That's another reason why the Rav didn't like it. What are you doing? You're breaking a plate. It's baltashkus. There's no reason to do it.
But okay.
Minig Yisrael is that we do it, and it's an important thing to do. But let's say, that the Rav forgot to do it, didn't bring it to mind. It's no big deal. It's not the end of the world. In fact, in the second marriage, we don't do Tanoim at all. But that's the notion of Tanoim. You should know what it's all about. And as I said, the preferable time of doing the meeting is at the time of the engagement, not at the time of the couple, because they're already at the couple, they're ready to get married. So that's what you should know what the Tanoim is all about. Now, the truth of the matter is, as public practice, how many sets of Avim do you need at a wedding? You need 80 Tanoim, you need 80 Ksuba, you need 80 Kedushin, and you need 80 Yichud. That's four. We mentioned yesterday, when we were doing the second part, that if you can, the 80 Yichud should also be the 80 Bedekin. That's a chumrah, to have 80 on the Bedekin itself. You really got to be strong to get in there and push your way in and actually see the Bedekin. But we're going to talk about the Bedekin. But the bottom line is, you have to make sure for all the Edom that they're kosher Edom. What does kosher Edom mean? They're Shomer Shabbos, they're Noe Karas Mishpacha, they're Shomer Kashrus, they're not gamblers. So that's why it's a good concept to have Rabbanim do be the Edom. If you're going to have Taverim be your Edom, you got to make sure they're really B'nai Torah. You really have to make sure they're B'nai Torah. You're going to have friends. So let's say you have a really, really close friend and you're not really sure about his level of Shmiras and Mitzvahs. But, you know, if you don't give him something, it's going to be really insulting. So what would you give him? 80 Tanoim. Okay? You give him 80 Tanoim. Because even if he's puzzled, the Tanoim aren't good, it's no Mishkeferla. Okay? Yes, Nate.
You just have to be Shmiras Mitzvahs at that moment.
Yes. At that moment. That's what it used to be. Yeah. And if he did something wrong, you have to assume that he's done tshuva. I hope he's done tshuva. Yeah. You have to assume that he's been in tshuva. It's hard to ask a guy if he's done tshuva. You know what I mean? I don't know if I ever told you this, but I was once at a wedding. It was a younger Rav who was Masada Kedusha. And they had older Rabbanim, really older Rabbanim, being 80 Kedushin. And the young Masada Kedushin says to the, he must have been 50 years older than him, Hiruri Tshuva. You know what Hiruri Tshuva means? You should have thoughts of Tshuva. I mean, it's a chutzpah. The mini Yisrael is, okay, you do that before your name, you do it yourself. You're in a younger Rav to tell an older Rav to do that. It's chutzpah. You know what I mean? You got to use your seichel like the Kohen Shlitos. There's a fifth Shulchan Aruch, you're safe. So that's regarding Tanoim. And there is a notion that the Gemara has, when you propose to a woman, Rechoshes, that maybe she had Dam Chimud. You know what Dam Chimud is? Dam Chimud might be like Dam Nidah. So some say when you read the Tanoim, isn't that like formally like proposing to her? So shouldn't you be Rechoshes that she'll have Dam at the wedding? So the way Rav Moshe wrote the Nusuk, it avoids that problem. That's why you always ask Rav Moshe's Nusuk when the Tanoim. The way he wrote it, he said that it gets out of that problem of Tavul and Nusuk, that you're actually claiming her to get married. And therefore, there's no Pshash of Dam Chimu. Chimu means like out of love. Yes, Binyamin.
There's someone who is potentially bad for Edus.
Yes.
better when it comes to the Kokorin. So, reading the Tanaim or reading the Ksuba. That doesn't require itself.
That's more of a Kavod Dona. Yeah, you're right. Technically, it would be good, but that's usually reserved for a Rav. You know what else you can give them? A lot of times I have to fill out the civil marriage license at the wedding, so I have to grab 280. So you can ask the friend, you can ask the Rav that's choosing to be that. That's also, you could say, is a keeper. Even though it's really not a keeper, right?
Rebbe, one of the Shema Brachas during
benching? It's true, but it should be a Sherman Shabbos. I like to always have a Sherman Shabbos.
Not during the football.
Even the ones at the end, you should always try to have a Shomer Shabbos.
No, I'm saying Shomer Shabbos, but okay. Certainly not could to the be. Same status as an aid.
Okay,
no.
Could be. You're right, it's definitely not. You need to have a person who knows how to read the aid. So that's the first thing you do in a chassan's dish. You ever notice? That's what's done. The old days used to bring a handkerchief. I used to have handkerchiefs, but I lost them all, so I use a pen. Usually the bottom is a pen, for the suva. Okay? But it says suva tomorrow, but you use a handkerchief. So I used to use a handkerchief, but I lost them all. So, okay? So that's the first stage you do with the chassid. So we took care of the tanaim. Now what do we do? Now we got to take care of the ksuba, which is much more important. You said a woman without a ksuba, we mentioned yesterday, cannot stay with her husband. Not be with her husband, and she has to know where it is. Now, who does the kinyan when it comes to a ksuba? The tanaim, who did the kinyan? Who did the kinyan by the tanaim? The fathers. Fathers and cousin of power. Who does the kinyan now for the ksuba? The cousin himself. Because the cousin is committing and obligating himself to take care of his kawa. It's a very nice thing. When Rodesway once said, he loves her so much at this time to the event that if he dies or he divorces her, she will be supported and taken care of. It's an interesting thing if you think about it. It really improves the airspace in the marriage, having a ksuba. Even to the degree he ends up wanting to divorce her, God forbid, ever in his life, he still wants her taken care of. That shows the extreme love. Now, therefore, the husband has to understand the ksuba. You have to tell him what it means. You should read through it in English. He doesn't know what it means. And then you get the 280, and you give him the pen. You give him the pen, and he lifts up the pen high in front of Adam, and he commits himself. Now, where's the kala's role in all this? She's in the other room. So there's a principle we learned in the Gemara, if you guys remember. I think we mentioned it this year already. Yeah, we learned it in the beginning of the year by Puzbo, the principle of Zachin La'adam Shalom Afanim. Is it in the kala's interest to have a tzuba or not? Yes or no? Absolutely. So she doesn't need to appoint the Rav to represent her. It's self-understood that she would want that. So we say Zachal Olam Shalom B'Fanav. I always introduce that and say the Kala would have appointed me for the principle of Zachal. We assume that she would want this. And therefore, I tell the Chassam, she wants the Ksuba, you need to commit yourself. Financially support, she can spiritually support her, help her, and therefore he lifts up the Kenyan. And therefore, what do? He's machayev himself. Then what do you do right afterwards? You sit down and you write the word. I've seen this happen, unfortunately, sometimes, where the Rav forgets to write the word v'kanina in. And then you got to write up the whole thing again. V'kanina. You got to write it in again. Now, a lot of times these fancy ksubas, just like the last, if you guys know who Ariel was, she just got married, side of Kedusha, a lot of times they do these fancy ksubas before. So in his fancy ksuba, they left out the leg of the kuf. So they wrote the word v'kanina in, so all you got to do is what? Just write one leg in. And it's meaningless without that leg. No, it doesn't. You don't know what it says, ranina. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Think about it. Right? If you have just a kuf without the leg, it doesn't make any sense. So after the kinyan, I fill in a leg. Then the Adam sign. The meaning is that the older guy signs before the younger guy. And you should practice. You should practice on a plain piece of paper how they sign their names. Like, if you want to sign your name, David ben Simcha l'mishpachas Hirsch. That's what Sheva taught us, the way you should always do. You should write the mishpachas before the last name. You say, David ben Simcha l'mishpachas Hirsch. And you got to practice to fit it in before it says the word aid. It says the aid at the end of the line. And then I practice with them. They write it because I don't want them to mess up the ksuba. So then they write it. And then that is the key of ksuba. Now, it does get complicated a lot of times when you have a ksuba or a wedding that's like hovering right around Shkia. Like, what day do you write? So, in the winter it's much easier because you know you're ready by the next day. It's after Tzeis. But sometimes in the spring and the fall, it can get a little murky. Yes, Asher.
brain was when his front was starting to trip. Yes,
but it's an interesting kashi to ask, but the concept of the ksuba is a star riot. Remember we learned different types of stars? But it's a star riot, and the Aiden before they sign it in, they need to read it through and understand it. When Shafi always says star riot, you gotta understand. It's a proof. So you gotta understand it well. So if you gotta understand it well, they have to read through it and understand it well. And because it's a riot, and some of the guys have the same name, other than Simcha, you need to identify the Mishpachas Hirsch. That's why the Gist is the right to Mishpachas Hirsch. And when you write the Ksuba, you write Passaic in the Venus, New Jersey. Passaic in the state of New Jersey when you write the city. So that's regarding the Ksuba, Allah Almighty. And that's ready. You always usually want to show it to the Rav that's going to read the Ksuba at the what? At the wedding. So that finishes the Fussin's Tish. Now, I always recommend very highly that the Fussin shear a Dvar Torah at his wedding, the happiest day of his life. So he should shear with some half other people, like teaching Torah, whether it's a 2-minute Dvar Torah. Doesn't have to be a seer. It could be a 2-minute Dvar Torah. It's a very nice thing to do. A lot of times in the Yeshiva Shoilin, they used to interrupt the guy when he's singing, but the Rav would get very angry, and the Rav would say, let him finish his Torah. Let him finish his Dvar Torah. So I don't think in Hawaii or our world people really know about that. So they end up letting the guy finish, which is much better. Okay, so then we have to do the bedekin. So we finish the chassis dish. Everyone that's eaten well there at the nice at the chassis dish, even though the shmorg might have been nicer, but at least they brought some food into the chassis dish, right? It was tasty enough, right? Tasty enough. Make sure you say a bracha achrona, okay? Make sure you say a bracha achrona, the chassis dish, and then you wash again for the main meal. So we walk the chassim in and dance them in. So the fathers are on one side of him and the rav is in the back of him. And you do the bedekin. Now the bedekin is, and this is why we don't do a bedekin by a second marriage. The bedekin is, the Mishnah says it's true, it's the beginning of the second prayer, that a besula wore a veil overhead, b'hinumah, yatsa b'hinumah. So the chassim himself, the rav is very adamant about this. A lot of people, sometimes the mothers help. The chassid himself should take the veil and put it over his kala's head. No one should help him do it. It's not good for shlichus. You got to do it yourself, the Rav said. Then he had a minig that the shlich did it. The shlich did it, not the chassid. You should do it yourself. It's a mitzvah of a group. And even, I've seen sometimes they try to help. I said, no, go do it again. Let it go back and let him do it. Let him do it himself. And then the minig is to give a bracha, father of the kala, father of the chassid. Give a bracha to the kala, and then after the woman goes away, the love also gives a bracha, and the bracha is achasim ha'is la'afir levavah, the bracha that Lovin gave to Rivka. There's some Masadikish that don't do it because he was such a rasha, but most say fakir. If he was such a rasha and he could eke out a bracha for his sister, how much worse than we should use that bracha? That's the minute he's thrown. We do a bracha and then we do the bedekin, and I still have to find out, guys. I brought it up yesterday. I don't know why we do it before. I don't know why we do it before the Kedushin. It is a Nisuin. Why you do Nisuin before Kedushin? Nisuin is the second stage. Why would you do that before? I don't know why. But in a second marriage, a widow or a divorce, you don't do Bedekin at all. You skip it. Because she's not a Nisuin. She's been married. Okay? So, that took care of what? The Tanoim, the Ksuba, and the Bedekin. Anyone has any kashas on this? You don't understand now, you have to understand what you're getting. I want you to know these elements of Ishus in a marriage. You don't see them like an Amaritz at a wedding. You have to know if you did what it means. Yes, Usher. It's not Kedushin, it's the Suin, you said. Not necessarily, because it's a unique thing about the veil. To keep quiet, you capture it, Usher, say, by a Grusha. If Bedekin is a Suin, why don't you do it by a Grusha? It was specially highlighted for the Suin. That's what you have to say. Okay? It was a form of the Suin. You're right. For that sheet you showed him, maybe you would have to. Well, we don't. Our meaning is we don't do that. Okay? Our meaning is we don't do that off the Allah. That's the din of Allah al-Mice. Okay? Yes, Rafi.
Why does Bedekin have to do anything like that?
Because remember, you said there are five opinions what Nisun is. One of the Shitas Rishonim is Nisun. And that's why before Kiddush is difficult. I don't know why you do it before Kiddush. There are some Rishonim say it works, but it doesn't work on Shabbos until the Kiddush is done. Like if the guy would have a heart attack after the Chassid, after the Bedekin, she's not a widow. Even according to that Shita, because the Nisun doesn't, it's not filed for the other Kiddush. Okay? After the Chassid Shalom. Okay. Let's close with something about Rosh Chodesh. Today's Rosh Chodesh. Guys, please welcome to take. Each guy can have two Dunkin' Donuts, yes? Would you get 24? Okay, good. Make sure you say Avrochin. Well, we're starting today, Dalvin Bez on the bottom, Knan. We have a lot to do, guys. I want to get going. It's good to see Nate back. And why don't we start this show? We're just going to start. Not too much secular studies here. We're going to get right. Kazi, nice dude. The license. Let's just start over some dinner about Rosh Chodesh. Then we break. We got a long chain. So this is a Marma Kodesh. Number one. Rosh Chodesh, there's a minig to have bread. Now, even though it's delicious donuts, but there is a minig. The Mechaber recommends have bread. So at lunch, I would recommend you have bagel. Okay? And a bagel. Or a sandwich with bread. The minig. Not a few. If you bench, you forget the olive oil. You do not need to repent benching. Because it all depends on a few suni. You have no few suni. But it is recommended. Who recommends it? The Mechaber. So if the Mechaber recommends it, we should treat it seriously. Today there's a Rebbe's one, so usually they put out bread. No one usually has the bread. Today I'm going to have the bread. I hope I'm not the only one that has the bread. Okay? If everyone doesn't want a bread, they want to gain weight. It's in the mitzvah in the month. The mitzvah. Okay? Number two. Yalav Yodah. Last night we dive and mire, if you got the other one, you do not need to repeat benching. I'm going to repeat you on that, because this is the Kaddish, the Kaddish, not at night. If you remember before you take a few steps back, you go back to the Tzay, and you say Yalav Yodah. What about by Nisa, today after Shir, if you forgot it, you got to repeat you on Esrei. Okay? That's right, if you have a repeat you on Esrei, if you forget the Yalav Yodah by Nisa. What about by Chakras? So if you forget Yalav Yodah by Chakras, you remember right away, you must repeat Shemot Esrei. What happens if you remember after Musaf though, if you've gotten Yalav Yodah and Chakras? That the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm a place in Gedolak, right now. It's a big machlokes. Some say you mentioned Musaf already, you mentioned Yom Chodesh. You didn't mention in Chakras. It's enough to mention Musaf. The other Shita says, no, you have to mention in Chakras. Our minutes are davening in Nedava. What's in Nedava? What's in Nedava? The other one says, Alamai, you got your davening all day, right?
Yeah.
Now you have to be mechanish for something, Shemaya too. You have to think, ask Hashem for something new you never asked for in a long time or ever. And that's our minig that we do that. Now the minig is that women don't do hard work. They don't sew, you know, things that are hard work. Rashi says in Megillah, Hashem gave the fact of Rosh Chodesh to the women because they didn't give over the jewelry to the Eglon's house. Yes, Benjamin. When you do, it's a bad thing. You have to repeat it. If the Shliach Tzibur himself in the private Shemot Esrei, can he use the Shliach Tzibur to? That's a good shiloh. Let's look that up. I believe you can. You could use the Chazar Shachar Zone. Well, let's look it up. Remember, it's a good shiloh. I thought you were asking if the Shliach Tzibur messes up with a bunch of shots, then he must repeat. If no one caught him. It happened one time in the shul. I'll never forget it. It was a Friday. It was a Friday afternoon. I think it was, I don't know, I think it was a Chol HaMoed. You know, it was a Friday afternoon Chol HaMoed, and it was Mincha, and I think the guy forgot Yom Yovel. You have to prove each one else. No one caught it. I was embarrassed. We're all supposed to catch these people. You paying attention? Okay, let's break here. Here's the Marma Kindness, guys. Thank you, Asher Goodmouth. And